Everyone, we are back with the next episode of the Raiders Rambles. I am Jolt, your chief host of the show, and joining me is none other than my co-host, Avira.
Awoo! What's going on, guys? I hope you're having a fantastic day.
And today is a very special episode, and I am here, and I'm very pleased to welcome our esteemed guest, Peace Wolf.
Yee, thank you. Hi, everybody.
It is a very, very, it is my privilege, and Avira's too, to be hosting you on the Raiders Rambles. How are you this evening? How are you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good. It's Friday. Just got off work, so I am very relieved and happy and looking forward to the weekend.
You know nice. It. You know it. And just like that, you know, it's time to put your feet up and enjoy the show.
So, all right. So for those of you who don't know Peace Wolf, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Sure. So I'm Peace Wolf. I originally came into the fandom in late 2013. I met a friend on Xbox that I played Halo with, and one day they sent me a picture of something they were working on. They're like, I'm making this suit, and they sent me a picture of this paw. I'm like, oh, that's adorable. You made that? I'm like, yeah. You can make these too. And there's like this whole community, and everybody dresses up, and we all like animals. I'm like, oh, no way. That's so cool. What's it called? And she's like, it's called the Furry Fandom. And she sent me some videos, and I started watching videos of fursuiters, and I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. So then I decided I wanted a suit, and then I looked at how much they costed. And I was like 16 at the time, so I can't afford $2,000 suits, so I learned to make them. And that's kind of how, that was my entry into the fandom.
Oh, cool. Okay. From friends on Xbox and Halo. Yeah, that's how it starts sometimes.
Halo Reach. That was the big thing for me when I was a teenager. Every day.
Nice.
I do. Speaking of Halo, do you notice that Halo's come back available on PC by way of Steam? Just, you know, practically the entire collection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, cool. You may see me pop in every now and then again because used to have the first Xbox, got Halo 1, rented Halo 2 so much when I was a kiddo. Never got an Xbox 360, and I missed out on so much. So
Peace, I'm kind of wondering about, like, you know, fursuit making. I know you run Peaceful Creations, but how long did it take you to kind of like learn how to do it? Because I've tried making a fursuit once, and I failed dramatically. it was embarrassing. I was so excited too. You know, I went to Michael's. I got all the foam. I got some fur. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. And I tried doing like that bucket head tutorial thing, and just badness.
Oh.
So how did you like perfect your craft? You know, like did you have to watch videos or something, or just practice?
Yeah. So it was a lot of. It's self-taught, and then you learn stuff as you go, too. It's not all, you don't learn everything from the tutorials, obviously, but whenever people ask me about this, the thing that I start with is that you're always going to fail on your first suit. Most people do. 99% of the time, it's going to be terrible. So don't feel bad if your first one doesn't turn out great. It's your learning suit. But as far as actually teaching yourself, there's lots of good resources that I can recommend. YouTube is your best friend. Go on Google. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tutorials. Sparky Candu has this tutorial called Good to Know series that it costs like $50, but it's so worth it because she goes through every single step of the process on how to make a suit in the way that she does. And Sparky has the most amazing suits for those that don't know. I would strongly recommend that.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. If you're looking for something free, though, matrices.net is a good one. Or There's some YouTube. Dream Vision Creations also, because they sell tons and tons of hardware that makes the process easier.
Okay, like sewing machines and stuff like that?
No, they sell like head bases and parts like noses and claws and teeth and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Like pre-made stuff. And then you can have all the parts and you assemble them.
Nice. Yep. So how many suits do you think you've made thereabouts?
Oh, I actually haven't made a ton. But I don't work very quickly. I think I've made around 20 suits.
That's a lot. What? What do you mean? Oh, only 20? Jeez.
I mean,
feeling a little humble, aren't we? I
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Let's have a look at, you know, I'm currently on the peacewithcreations.com, your website for, you know, for your own fursuit and your own portfolio. Yeah.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, most definitely. And so this is the place, too, where we can go in and, you know, join the commission queue.
Not quite. I don't have... I mean, I only open for quotes every so often. This is... The fursuit making, unfortunately, is just kind of a side hobby for me, so I don't get to do it as often as I like. So I only open for commissions once or twice a year.
Well, yeah, that makes sense, though. Like, that's thereabouts how long it takes for a suit. Like, around, you know, a few months, I've seen, on average.
Yeah. Not to mention, you know, how, as a general, you know, question about the workflow, how long does it take to, you know, to in your experience, to, you know, to turn around a fursuit from scratch?
Typically, it takes me about 3 to 4 months. To do, if we're talking like a whole suit, like I only do partials, I don't do full suits. So if we're talking the head, sleeves, hands, tail, and feet, that takes about 4 months, 3 to 4 months.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. Because thing is, you're not a full-time fursuit maker, but you're also, you know, you've got your things in life you're juggling with, and you know, mm-hmm. there's a million things you'd love to do.
Dude, if I made one single successful fursuit, I would call myself a fursuit maker. I'd be like, yeah, I'm totally in the business, guys. Like, come on. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Like, and then you know something, and that's another question too, you realize, no, like, speaking of suits, going back to the whole learning process, did you come into it with, you know, with no experience or background in tailoring?
I did not. I did not know how to sew when I first started. This is what taught me how to hand sew, and then a little bit later on, I learned how to machine sew. So no tailoring experience whatsoever.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, and then you realize, oh, did you find it overwhelming to, you know,
kind of a little bit, a little bit. It's I mean, you take it a step at a time. You can start with the easiest thing, which is usually the tail, and just look up some tutorials on how to do some basic hand sewing. You can hand sew a whole suit. Your hands are going to fall off, but you can do it. If you're scared of a machine, which is totally understandable, because I was for the longest time, but it's really not that hard. If you can find someone to be there in person to teach you, it's a lot easier, but it's really not that bad.
Cool. So, you know, aside from fursuit making, you know, you said you had other hobbies and stuff too. So, you want to maybe get into some of that?
Sure. When I have time, I like playing video games. I'm a big Pokemon fan, and I play Rocket League.
I really like
RPGs, like open world RPGs, stuff like Mass Effect and Dragon Age. Those are some of my favorites.
Oh my goodness, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, happy Spyro Day.
Oh, today is Spyro Day?
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't know Spyro had a day.
Yeah, it's Spyro Community Day, June 4th. Yeah, it's all over Twitter. Cool.
Nice. I'm actually playing through the Spyro trilogy, the remastered one, for the first time. I've never played Spyro before, and I just finished the second one over on Twitch, and I'm about to start the third one, and I've been having a lot of fun with it.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, you never got to see, you know, play all those classics too, because, you know, when you advertise your streams as well, you said you were playing, like, Crash Bandicoot as well.
Yeah, I am. I haven't played Crash before either, so that's been an experience.
I've never played Crash either. Like, not even, like, the originals, which is weird. I played the demo on the original, like, Spyro the Dragon. That was fun. But I never got into Crash for some reason. I don't know.
I would recommend it. It's quite fun. Especially to stream, because you will die a lot. And it's very funny.
Oh, God.
I think the thing is, just a little hint for you, Crash Bandicoot 1 was the game that didn't really age well. But numbers 2 and 3 were it.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones that all the, you know, all the fans loved the most.
Yeah, I struggled with the first one. The first one had some very difficult levels in it. But I made it. Powered
through. Nice.
Yeah, and you realize now, you know, you become more of a, you know, more skilled gamer, more, you know, just by slugging it through.
Mm-hmm. Platforms are not my strong suit, but I still can appreciate them.
Mm.
And, but yeah, you were asking about some of my hobbies. Video games, definitely. I like to hang out with friends a lot. And a lot of what I do, I focus on building things for other people. So content creation, the fursuits, we host events, things like that.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah.
And those are my main hobbies.
And speaking of games, you stream on Twitch from time to time. And that was, yeah. How long? When can we? Where can we expect to find your streams? And how, you know, do you have a schedule that you mm-hmm. come on from time to time?
I don't have a schedule because I do a lot of things, so it's kind of hard for me. I don't operate best on a schedule. If that sounds believable, mm. I have a set amount of things that I do every week, and then I just kind of, it depends on what I feel like for a certain day. But I generally stream on average twice a week, once during the week, kind of in the middle, and then a lot of the times I'll be doing one on the weekends. And if you want to watch, it's twitch.tv/peacewolfactual.
Yeah, cool. I've seen some of your streams. Well, you know, yeah, obviously.
Oh, yes, I know. You are a frequent viewer. I definitely... Yeah. Remember, I'm glad that you enjoy them.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and I mean,
oh, so speaking of hosting events, I did want to ask about something else. The convention Tales and Tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? Like hosting that, or just being, you know, on the board of directors? I think you were last year, right, or 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was in 2019.
Right.
I was the president and the chairman for its first year.
Wow, that must have been so cool. I mean, probably stressful, but...
Oh my gosh, I had no idea what I was doing, if I'm just going to be completely honest. But none of us knew what we were doing, so it's okay.
Okay, good.
We were all learning together, and I learned... a hell of a lot of things doing that. I learned all about legal paperwork and managing people, and not just managing people, but managing unpaid furries. Oh my gosh.
You're right. Yeah, of course. Security, medical staff, all that shit. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I absolutely loved my staff and they did wonderful. And I'm very proud of them, even though I'm not with them anymore. We all came together and we've made something new for Oklahoma. Oklahoma's never had a hotel fur con, so we were the forerunners in making that happen. I think that's something to be proud of, regardless of what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hell yeah.
But as far as what it was like, to answer your question, it was stressful, yes, but after we got all the planning done and we actually had the event, it was just like surreal. All 3 days I was on my feet constantly. I didn't sit down. If I sat down, then my feet would hurt and my feet were numb the whole time. Like I was on my feet that often.
Wow.
So it was crazy, but it was wonderful. I mean, we got to work with a lot of really cool people, not just furries, but like the hotel and our vendors and all that good stuff. So it was awesome. I absolutely had a blast.
How many people showed up, if you know?
We had just over 500 attendees.
Wow, very nice.
You know, for a debut con, that's impressive.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask about a bit more about that, because in the Oklahoma furry scene, it used to be that, you know, the Oklahoma had one main furry event, like OklaCon, the outdoor camping con.
Yep.
And at some point I heard on the mill that OklaCon shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. They had, it was a chain of events. I never went to OklaCon. It actually shut down like the year that I joined the fandom. I think I was too young at the time to go anyways. I can't remember if it was an 18 plus thing or not, but either way, I was too young. but yeah, they had something happen with the park, and the park staff just didn't want them to come back. So unfortunately that happened, but we now have another camping con in Wilburton. It's called Wild Nights. And it's very, very similar to what OklaCon was like from what I've seen of OklaCon. And it's run by some of the same people that helped out with it. So I went for the first time in 2019, right before COVID hit. And I had a blast, so I definitely recommend it to anyone that doesn't mind an outdoor con.
Oh, cool. What's it called?
Wild Nights.
All right. I've got the website up on screen share. So this should be it though. It's a little bit out of date at the moment, considering that they've postponed due to COVID last year. But yeah.
Oh, man, yep. I miss cons so much. I haven't been to one in like a year and a half, and I'm like, ugh. Awful. The last event I was at was A&E back in like February. Right before COVID hit. Because after that, they were like, okay, now it's a pandemic, and then everything was closed. That was a bummer. But this looks nice, though. So it's in April. Lost all
it
the
would
Yellow
have been
room.
April 23rd or 27th last year.
Yeah.
If, you know, had it occurred. But,
dude, April of last year was looking like the apocalypse. it really was, though. Like, it was, especially here in New York, holy bonkers, man. It was scary.
I bet. I've been hearing about that.
Yeah, well, they were sending, like, the hospital ships and, you know, mass graves and, oh my gosh. Yeah, it was nuts. Oh, there was no toilet paper on the shelves. I mean... Come on, you can't live without that.
How did you cope through, you know, how did you get through when the apocalypse hit around about March, April, May-ish last year?
Sorry, what was the question?
How did you, you know, what did you do just to get through last year when it peaked so hard?
Yeah, like, what was it like there?
Like, in 2020 last year?
Yeah.
Around that time?
Were the shelves empty in the stores and all that shit?
They were, but not for very long. And we also got to go to TFF because the TFF actually happened in 2020 in March. So we got to go to a con last year, the last con that probably happened that year.
Oh, you're right. That really probably was the last con of 2020.
Yep. It was a good con too. We had fun. But yeah, no, it hasn't been terrible here. I mean, we're having some shortages, but it only lasted like a few weeks and then everything was kind of back to normal. Oklahoma's been pretty chill about it. And we've had the mask mandates, but everyone's been pretty lax. So it hasn't been terrible.
Okay, good. Oh, you're lucky. Some parts was pretty messed up.
Yeah, and what about, you know, just getting through the day-by-day things? Like, when everything peaked, we were all stuck at home. Now, for me, I got stood down from work. I got given a wage subsidy for a month, got given by my boss, like, work 3 out of 5 days from home doing office stuff. And, you know, and I guess that's how I got through it. And day by day, I just got spoiled with, you know, having, like, luxuries like soup.
And lots of sleep. Wow, look at you.
Yeah. So, Peace, I want to hear, you know, I'd like to hear from you. How did you just get through the day by day? Like, did you just feel like, oh, I'm stuck again at home? Or?
Well, me and my husband never got let go from our jobs. The most we experienced was a small pay cut on my husband's side. But I worked from home for maybe like 2 weeks. And then our bosses were like, yeah, this isn't working. Come back to work.
Because wow, okay.
I work in IT and we have to like ship stuff and we have to be in house to build computers and stuff. So we working from home just doesn't really work. So we did like a rotation where some of us would come in and then everyone else would stay home. Then eventually we all came back and then we just socially distanced our seating and then everything's basically back to normal at this point. So I stayed busy with work and I still got to be around people. So it wasn't too bad for me. I didn't like being away from some friends for a little bit, but a few months after the initial scare happened, we started hosting firm meets again and people came because it doesn't do people very good to be apart for long periods of time because, you know, you got the suicide rate going up, things like that, people trapped in homes with abusive spouses or parents, things like that.
That's very true. Wait, so what kind of events were you hosting?
Some of them were online. Like, we'd do video game nights, or we'd do chats on Discord, and then other times we'd get together to watch a movie at my place. Sometimes we would... we've got, like, a Ren Faire that's going on right now, and we went to Ren Faire just the other week. Yeah.
That's so cool! Oh my god, yeah. I love Ren Faires! Awesome!
Yeah, and then we also go to a sanctuary and we volunteer there and we like help animals, so we get together for stuff like that sometimes. It's like we have a couple of like a handful of events that we do every month.
Oh wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So I guess the furry scene over there is pretty active. I mean, I guess, you know, thankfully because of you.
So some of it is, yeah. It depends on what group they decide to associate themselves with, because for the longest time, some of the groups were like, you can't post any events or we're going to remove it and maybe ban you from the group. I'm like, okay.
What? That's lame.
Yeah.
What isn't that the whole point of, you know, like getting together and socializing? I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, you know, Telegram admins think they own the world.
Yeah, true.
I'm just like, no, no, you don't. This is ridiculous.
Right, it's like the power's just gone over to their heads and, you know, and any semblance of reality's just gone, oh, out the window. And
I used to go to furry events, like, well... until COVID, unfortunately. But yeah, it was like every other week, you know, we'd go bowling and stuff. Unfortunately, our bowling alley closed down, like, permanently, because
Oh.
Yeah, they were not making any money at all because they were closed for like 6 months. So that's gone. We also
that
used to
sucks.
Go. We had an annual barbecue, which I used to go to, and we don't do that anymore. Like, man, it's been really sad.
Aww.
I hope things get back to normal soon. They're kind of getting back to normal here, but again, like New York is still pretty strict with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to figure out, you know, what we're gonna do. I guess like online stuff. Oh yeah, that's another question I had for you. What do you think about like online conventions? Like, is it worth it? Because I've never been to one. I'm not sure if you have.
I haven't. I've watched people talk about them, and I thought it might be fun to attend one, but I just never really got around to it. So I can't really speak to that. I mean, they look kind of fun, but it just, like, every time I get on VR chat, I just think it's the weirdest thing to be able to walk up to someone and, like, they'll start talking to you. I know, it weirds me out. I'm still getting used to it. I don't know. I just...
Okay, yeah, well, I've never actually used VR before.
Yeah,
it does look pretty surreal. I know, like, you can also go to, like, the virtual events just, like, on your computer or your phone or whatever. But I feel like you need the VR experience, at least to kind of get immersed in that environment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Ah. The thing is, like, and I guess I want to say, you know, do you think... here's a good question there. Speaking of VR cons, do you think they're missing something? Like, I feel that they're missing the upfront human interaction element out of it.
Oh yeah, definitely. No, it doesn't compare to actually going to an event, not by a long shot. It's just mm-hmm. more something to tide people over, which I'm glad cons have been trying to do that. It's better than nothing. It's just not quite the same.
I know, like, you can't virtually get drunk and pass out on the elevator. Like, come on.
That's right. Not, yeah, I mean, okay, we're going to read through a couple of live comments regarding this, too. I should probably be neglecting it, though. Orion Trucker says, they are missing the soul. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Do you agree with that? Like, they're missing, you know, the element of what makes a furcon a furcon.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying about the drunken elevator situation. Like, that's important.
I could say that, to use a better example, you know, the Euroference team have, you know, rebuilt the, you know, the Estrel Hotel in Berlin, to use one example, for their own, you know, VR Euroference. And, you know, even still, you know, you can
that
have it
is
looking like the real thing. Yes,
that,
but
that's pretty impressive. I gotta say, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
But on that same note, though, that's the direction the community is heading into.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting too, like how, like, when the virus hit, everything really did change in the fandom. You know, like, virtual cons are now a thing. Like, I've never heard of that before. Before last year, like, that didn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And I think I remember one of the first cons to do this. Was it Anthrocon? That was, like, the first virtual thing? Or was it something else?
I can't remember what that was.
I don't
but...
think so. I think it was Ferality.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because whatever
I'm not
it was,
sure, but...
I remember some stories about, like, just how terrible it was. How, like, it was so loud and, like, it was so unorganized. And people paid, like, $45 to, like, be in this thing. And they're like, what the hell am I even doing here?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, but it's improved a little bit.
But just as a question piece, do you think that's where the, you know, the community, that's the direction the community is heading to, you know, in the future, like virtual cons?
I don't think so, personally. I mean, I can see some continuing to happen as a result of, COVID, but I mean, there's so many furry conventions that, I mean, they survive on on their, well, they have to have their contracts with the hotels, and you can't just cancel them. Like, that's not how that works. So they, I mean, some of them could have their events and then decide not to anymore, but I can't really see that happening. It's not really a good business decision.
Yeah, and that was a problem that Anthrocon had. I remember watching one of Uncle Kage's live streams, and he was saying how they had, like, 11 different contracts with 11 different hotels.
Oh my god.
And all the hotels, you know, like, all around the whole Pittsburgh area, once the virus hit, all the hotels were closed. So, like, what are you supposed to do? Like, that's literally tens of thousands of dollars you're talking about just tossing away. Like, that's a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't even imagine. And Anthrocon hasn't even been around for, like, the last, well, this year and last year. I think they even canceled it this year, didn't they?
Yep.
Bummer.
Yep.
But like, the larger cons, like, even though they, you know, do have to cancel their contracts and stuff, like, they're going to survive. But a lot of the smaller ones, I don't know. It's tough.
If they manage their finances correctly, a lot of them should be fine, honestly.
Yeah, but when do furries manage anything correctly? Like, come on.
Yeah. Furry groups tend to have this cycle of a rise and fall, and then someone else takes over, and then it just repeats itself.
I think maybe what we're looking for is, you know, maybe it takes one person to, you know, to cause a shift in the way it, you know, management is handled.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's also, you know, could be that, or I guess, you know, in a lot of other things too, like, management could be the cause of a lot of issues as well, like, inside and outside of, you know, say, work. Like, heck, even in the community as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in your case, what I wanted to say was, you know, you learned a lot, like, to go back to the whole, you know, when you started up, you know, event organizing as well, like, for your own convention, Tales and Tornadoes, you know, was there, like, you know, did you butt heads with a lot of, you know, the management there too, like the rest of the people on your team?
So, my big issue with TTFC was that at the time, I didn't know a lot of people very well. I was still kind of new to the Oklahoma furry scene. I'd been in it for a few years, but I hadn't really talked to anyone more than just, like, typical Telegram chats. So my relationship with the Oklahoma furry community on a personal level was not very strong. I didn't know them very well. So when you start a furry convention, you need lots of help, and you need it quickly. And I think one of my mistakes as a new chairman was, excuse me, it was that. I mean, I just didn't know people very well, so I hired people that I didn't know very well, and I had to trust them because I didn't know anyone else. I really didn't have a choice. I didn't have time to get to know people. They just came to me saying, hey, we want to start a convention. Do you want to help? And I said, sure. And that was that. So we made it in the end. It turned out to be a great event, and that's awesome. But
yeah, it sounds like it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it did for the first year, anyways.
Also, that's an adorable name, Tales and Tornadoes.
Thank you. It's a community chosen name, so we asked the Oklahoma community, and they came up with the name and the logo, so it's very much there. It has the community's mark on it, for sure. It wasn't something that just the staff came up with.
Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, from what you've learned, though, here's an interesting live comment that'll kind of tie into what you've learned. Mighty Red Wolf, hey, thanks for tuning in. I'm afraid to start the Hawaii FurCon because I don't have the right people. Yet. Mm-hmm. And in your case, is like, you know, you didn't have the right people. You just had to say, you know, come up to people and says, okay, you just got to make it work, right?
Yeah, it's not just, I mean, having the right people is definitely a huge part of it, but aside from that, there's a very strong importance when it comes to, like, setting up how you want to run things, like setting up rules and documentation and expectations. Expectations is a huge thing. We didn't have that when we started TTFC because we were all new to this and we were all just kind of learning as we went, which was very much a struggle. So having everything in order from the get-go is definitely a big step in the right direction. So just be thinking about how you want to run things and the kind of people that you want to be in charge, and start drafting some like staff rules to follow and things like that, and that will help a lot.
Yeah, and especially all like the legal paperwork and stuff. So in regards to that, like, what did you have to do exactly? Like sign waivers, like if things were damaged or people got hurt, or like how did that kind of work?
Not so much that. The biggest when running a convention in an organization, the biggest legal things you have to worry about are like tax forms. And if you want to be a 501c3 or a 501c7, which is basically you apply for income tax exemption and your incorporation with whatever state that your organization is in so that you can do business as an organization and not as a person, which is a very, very bad idea, because if something happens, then it's all on you. So you definitely, incorporating is a very, that's like the first big step for anyone that wants to start a con, is coming up with a name and then incorporating so that if you go under, God forbid, then you can fall back on that and then just the organization goes bankrupt. It doesn't fall on you.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That, I didn't actually know that.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's how it works in the U.S. anyways. I can't speak for any of the international folks.
Oh, yeah. Like
I have no experience with the, you know, the leadership side of things, and I can't quite, you know, yeah, get my local folk group and say, hi, I want to be on the board of directors.
I don't know if I would want to be. That seems like too much work.
Actually, if you're on the board of directors, the board actually is typically, or it can be apart from the event running, because the board just manages the organizational stuff, but lots of times board members will also be involved in convention running too, because typically the board and the event are two separate things.
Right.
Hmm. I hear you. And it's just, yeah. Like, one's concerned, you know, on that side, one's concerned with the management side of, you know, how this, you know, the statistic, the figures, the statistics, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Yeah. But, you know, to move on from that, it's been great to hear, you know, your experience with running events. What do you think? I'd like to ask about what you think the current, you know, the current and future state of our community, you know, for our community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I go ahead.
Oh yeah. Well, basically, what we mean is, like, obviously things have been changing the past couple of years. I mean, things have been not.
They've changed at a really accelerating pace. I will say this. You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Conventions and fair meets are starting to find their feet again, slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, especially down here in Australia, we've been quite, I'd say the word, blessed with being, you know, with being away from the, you know, from COVID's hot zones, that, you know, we're being able to start again.
Yeah. So, what do you think about, like, the future of the fandom? Like, you think it's gonna, like, we're going to see the same kind of growth we did the past, like, 10 years, or not?
Well, from what I've seen, furry is slowly starting to become more mainstream. Like, I was, just as an example, I got an email from Twitch saying, hey, we added some new tags for videos. Like, you add tags down in the bottom for your stream, and I scrolled through them, and furry is one of them. I was like, oh, no! No. That's not supposed to happen. We're not supposed to be mainstream. What's going on?
Yeah, I think I remember you talking about that a little while ago. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
It's like, wait a minute. When did this happen? And then furries are starting to come up more in the news. Like, you had Sonic Fox come up as Gamer of the Year, something like that.
Yeah, I think that was an interesting thing to watch.
I think Ellen, that talk show, she mentioned furries at some point, and like stuff like that is coming up more often these days. So,
yeah. So, do you think that's like a good thing that it's become more mainstream, or no? Probably not.
I mean, there's good and bad things that come with it. I think. I don't know. I personally don't care for going mainstream. I think it's fine if it stays kind of niche.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I agree.
That's just my opinion.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like I'm with you on that one too. Like it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Though, like on one hand, mm-hmm. like you know, it's our little seat. You know, it's our own little family, our own little playpen.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other end, it's like, why is it so popular? I want to be in this club now.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I feel like we definitely have a lot more younger furries than we used to, for sure.
That's right. Like, just to use an example, you know, the last meet I went to, you know, last week, we just outgrown the park that we didn't have for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
Only because, you know, we had so many more suits and so much more new faces in attendance. Oh, goodness.
I mean, but that could be a good thing. I mean, hey, it's, you know, your local community is growing, so that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess on the whole, like, you know, we are seeing a bit of a generational shift as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know. And I guess now, like, from the events you've seen, you know, it's, I guess in a way you could argue, you know, furry is a lifestyle.
Yeah, it could be.
Okay. It depends on how much of furry, it depends on how much it means to you, I think. Some people don't, it's just kind of a small part of their lives. Some people won't associate themselves with furry fandom, but they still like furry things, for example.
Yeah, I'm totally not a furry, but I've heard that before. Oh, man. So I guess one of the last things I wanted to talk about, well, not the last thing, but we have some time, was some of like the controversy going on in the fandom. Because I'm sure like you've dealt with, you know, cancel culture and censorship and stuff like that. Do you think that the fandom has gone, like, too woke or too, you know, into that kind of cancel culture scene?
Mm-hmm. I think it depends on which platform you're looking at any point in time, because if you look at Twitch or YouTube or Facebook or Instagram, it's a very different dynamic than what Twitter has to offer. Twitter is definitely the worst of it from what I've seen. And I'm on a lot of platforms, so I see just about everything that goes on. And Twitter is definitely 10 times as toxic as the other ones, like more so than all of them combined. All the other ones are very friendly compared to Twitter. So if you're a furry and all you know is furry fandom on Twitter, you're going to think that furry is absolutely toxic and we're just going downhill. It's game over. It's going to be horrible forever and ever.
Oh my god, you're so right. Like, everyone's so damn negative on Twitter, too. Mm-hmm. Either that, or they're, like, ultra woke. They're like, oh, well, my pronouns are she, zim, zer, vi, whatever the crap. And it's like, if you don't respect me, then you're a bigot. I'm like, bro, chill. You're, like, 10. Like,
yeah.
Stop it.
That's the other half of it too. When I said that the furry fandom is kind of shifting towards well, not shifting, but we're just getting younger people in the fandom that are just, they're less mature. They don't know how to have conversations that have room for disagreements. And they're very, very impressionable. And they're still figuring out who they are because they're so young. They're in that like 17 to 22-ish age where they're still kind of learning themselves and how to navigate life and just stuff like that. So
yeah, that's true. I remember I joined the fandom back in like, I think like 2014 was my first con, which is a FAU. That was fun, but yeah, I was still I wouldn't say I was immature or anything. I was kind of just like overwhelmed with everything going on. I'm like, oh my god, like, you have a $2,000 fursuit? What the hell? Why would you spend money on that? Now I'm thinking, wow, if I had $2,000, I would totally get one. I mean, I already have a suit, but still, like...
Same.
Yeah, it's definitely been different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, god, now I sound like some boomer gray muzzle. Oh, I've been in the fandom since 19 stupidy boop.
Back in my day.
Exactly. We did things right. All right. Do we have any other live comments?
I'd say this would be a great time to open up the lines for any questions that we might have for you, I guess, Peace Wolf. Our listeners and our group especially. Definitely, you know, would have good questions, and they've, you know, learned something. Yeah, they could definitely learn something from you. So, shall we start? Okay, let's start with this one. Vinyl Nerd 64 asks, "What equipment is best for making fursuits?"
By equipment, I'm going to assume you mean things like sewing machines and hot glue guns,
right? I know it's a bit of a vague question.
Yeah. I can tell you what I have. I use, at least for sewing machine, I got a Singer Heavy Duty sewing machine. You definitely want to get, if you want to use a sewing machine on fur, you got to get a heavy duty sewing machine, or else it's going to snap. It's not going to be strong enough. Any old hot glue gun will do. You don't need anything special there. I will say, though, if you've got two hot glue guns, one with a bigger tip and one with a more fine tip, it helps you get into tight places. So that's definitely helpful. Let me see. I'm trying to think what else. As in, like, equipment that you keep on hand. Those are the two big things, hot glue gun and sewing machine. Scissors, of course. Get some really nice fabric scissors. Like, I found some on Amazon that are, like, titanium steel, and that they're really, really nice, and that helps a lot. Other than that, everything else is, like, stuff that's going to run out, like hot glue and duct tape and markers and things like that. And then you get fur from online websites.
Yeah. Because, you know, you didn't think the synthetic fur was just going to be that strong. You know, you needed something stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Wow. Okay. On the same topic, Dutch Dog asks, do you make realistic suits? I'd say it's in the styling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I had a look at your portfolio, it's, you know,
yeah,
but I'll let you be the, you know, see what you, you know, what you think.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't do realistic suits. The most realistic I've probably done is that circle there in the bottom right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, cool.
Even he is pretty toony. That would probably be more of a semi-realistic, but that's the only suit that I made with a resin base. Everything else was made with foam, and I do pretty toony styles, so... I haven't done any realistic suits yet. I probably won't, because that's a level of skill that I don't know if I have time to explore. Because you have to use airbrushing, and that's just a whole nother trade to learn. I just don't know if I'll ever do that. I might, but I'm probably going to stick to 2E for now.
Okay, yeah. Well, good point. The eyes do look pretty cool. So did you buy those from that person you said earlier? Like that makes
Dream Vision.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
most
cool.
of
okay.
the most of the hardware that you see in the pictures, so like the noses and the teeth, the claws, the eyes, those are mostly all coming from Dream Vision creations.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. So next one, same topic, Mighty Red Wolf. Could you open fursuit commissions to for raiders who have funds? But I guess this is a general one as well. Like, you know, would you kind of segue into that though? When, you know, do you have, you know, when do you think you'll be able to open up, you know, fursuit commissions?
I'm not sure. To be completely honest, I'm not sure how long I'm going to keep doing fursuits because I'm kind of reaching that point in life where I'm about to start a family. And fursuit making takes a lot of time and focus and patience. So I can't see myself completely ever stopping making suits. I might still take a few, but I'm kind of getting to the end of my career with fursuits, unfortunately. So whenever people ask me when I'm going to open, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to open again, to be honest. And I hate to say that. I really do because I like it. But it's just like I said earlier, I'm kind of juggling all the things that I want to do. So, but to answer the other part of that question, yes, of course, I do business with everyone. I don't discriminate whatsoever. So I would be just fine doing commissions for any raiders.
Thank you very much. That's awesome. All right.
And you know what? You also got to focus on yourself too. You know, if you're, you know, wanting to start a family, I mean, that's great. I do know some people that have like kids and stuff, and they're married, and they still do creations like that on the side. But you mm-hmm. also have a lot of other different things you're juggling too, like, you know, different hobbies and stuff. So mm-hmm. yeah, you okay? Makes sense.
Yeah. Here's a weird question that I got from a people in my own chat. Home Alone 2 was bad. Why? Are you familiar with that movie?
Oh, yeah. actually, I can't remember. It's been so long since I've seen those movies, I honestly can't hardly remember them.
Home Alone 2 was when he was in New York City. And he was, like, at this hotel. And I think he met Donald Trump briefly.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Home Alone 2. Yeah, Kevin, he went to the Trump Hotel, and Trump was, like, he had a cameo in the movie. It was pretty funny.
Really? I did not know that. I'm going to have to go back and watch it.
Yeah, he totally did. Kevin's like, oh, well, I don't know where to go. And Trump is like, oh, it's right down there, kid. He just walked by. It's pretty funny.
Huh.
Yeah, I haven't watched those movies in such a long time as well. Goodness.
I mean, Home Alone 1 is just, you know, a classic. It's just so great. I'm very surprised that he didn't actually kill those two criminals, though. You know, with smashing paint cans on them and burning their faces and all that nonsense. I mean, my goodness, I saw a video on YouTube about, like, the injuries. It was, like, by a doctor, like, the injuries in Home Alone 2. And he's like, yeah, so multiple fractures here, concussion here. It's like, oh, my God. This kid's Jeez. A demon.
All right. I guess that's the, you know, that's the end of that, though. Avira, have you got any questions that you've missed out on? Just...
Yeah, sure. So, how did you come up with your persona?
It's not the most amazing story ever. It's just a warning. But when I was like 12 or 13 and just discovering the internet, I discovered that chat rooms were a thing and like blog sites where people can chat with each other and you have to have a username in order to make an account and chat with people. So, and I was chatting with, at the time, I think I was chatting with other Therians, if you know who they are.
I do.
So, I was very briefly into that for a little while when I was very young. But anyway, that's where the name comes from, because I saw all these names that people were making, and it was like names like Firewolf and Thunder Husky, just things like that. Like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Well, I need a name because I need to fit in. What's something that no one has used yet that I haven't seen? We'll go with Peace Wolf. Yeah, that sounds okay. We'll do that. So then it just kind of stuck, and I eventually, I found my way onto this animation program for the Nintendo DS called Flipnote Studio. And I started making animations, and back then you could post them to this application called Flipnote Hatena, and then everyone could watch them, like kind of like YouTube. And I did that for a while, and I got a pretty decent amount of following there. And then after that, I started making fursuits, and then I started getting on social media, like modern social media, like Twitter and YouTube and things like that. And I just never got rid of the name. And then as far as coming up with the fursona, Flipnote Studio actually played a part in that, because you can only use a few colors to make animations. You had white, black, red, blue.
Oh, okay.
I think that was it. So, like, huh, peaceful. Okay. I can draw a wolf, but it can't just be a wolf. I gotta add something. Draws a peace sign on the chest. Okay, that looks good. We'll go with that.
All right, sure.
Yeah,
and then the hat and the collar with the cross, that came recently, like within the past couple of years. I added those, so it's just, I know it's really basic, and some people make fun of it, and that's okay. That's completely fine. It is very basic, but she's still mine, and I love her very much. So,
awesome.
All right, one last question from our viewers, from our listeners. Mizu asks, RPG or first-person shooter games?
If I had to pick which one I like more, definitely RPGs, because. Yeah. There's so much variety with RPGs. With shooters, you can combine the two. Like, you can still be a role-playing and shooting. But I like the whole aspect of, like, exploring and dialogue options and, like, lore and story and going and killing things and grabbing all the loot and upgrading, and that's more of an RPG kind of thing instead of shooters. So,
okay. All right.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really the biggest fan of, like, first-person shooters, because whenever I'm playing one, I feel like I'm just a floating gun, and, like, I can't see my character. Like, I like third-person shooters, you know, like Ratchet and Clank and stuff like that, like where you can see your character, like, jump around and platform and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm just like a floating gun, like running around, like I don't know how far I'm jumping. Like, it's hard. I don't know. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Do it. So that's kind of tough for me.
But, I get that.
Yeah.
All right. Just two more. We're going to take two, one last question, and then one. And I personally have one last one, and then we're going to close up. Sound good?
All right.
Yeah.
All right. One last question from the live chat. Paul Lee, second asks, who makes the most realistic fursuits you know of, and what unrealistic anthro features do they have?
So that I know of, I'm trying to think. I mean, there's I've seen a lot of suits. I just don't know their makers all the time. Mm-hmm. But if I had to recommend one just off the top of my head, they've been around for a long time. It's Beast Cub.
Mm-hmm.
And Beast Cub makes beautiful suits. Like, they are insanely talented. They also are one of the very few makers to pull off making really nice quad. That's like ultra realistic, right? Because it's the illusion of being on all four legs, and you got like stilts for your arms, that kind of thing. And I saw they did a video of like a wolf they made, and they like went outside and started waving at people.
Oh, please! I've seen that video.
You have? Isn't it adorable?
Oh my goodness! You know, it's funny. Some people thought it was actually real.
Like, it looks so real. Like holy cow!
And like the wolf like laid down on the bench, and the kids were walking by. Like, yeah. Wait a second, what the heck? Yeah, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely a beast cub.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And on the second part, though, what features would, in your opinion, look unrealistic for Ampharos to have?
Like on fursuits. I think a lot of it comes from the eyes in particular because they don't move. Mm. But I know some makers are trying to kind of combat that. They've made like some animatronic features.
Or the follow me eyes too, like you know,
yeah.
No matter what angle you're looking at, like the suit's always looking at you.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I have those.
It's definitely all in the face because most suits don't have moving eyes or moving, like the nose and things like that. The ears, it's all static, so that really gives it away.
Oh yeah, and the thing though, same story too, like with the eyes too, like. You've seen some Japanese fursuits, right? What do you think of those?
Like the, what are they called? They have a name.
Kimono.
I know what you mean. Like there's a certain style with like a shorter muzzle and like larger eyes with like plastic over them.
Yeah.
The name is escaping me at the moment, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I'm not very big on those suits, personally. I mean, they're cute, but I wouldn't own one.
It's not your aesthetic.
It reminds me of Beanie Babies, like how they made the eyes way too big.
Oh my god. So, yeah, right?
Like, I like the OG Beanie Babies. They looked a lot better, and now they just got these, they have the oversized heads and eyes, and I don't know, it kind of reminds me of that, but that's just my opinion. I mean, if other people enjoy them, that is totally cool. I'm happy for them. Mm.
All right. So, one last one, as I've said, you know, what can we expect from Peace Wolf in the future? Any future plans?
Future plans. I will say that there are some very big things coming in the near future that I cannot disclose yet. Mm-hmm. Because it's not ready to be disclosed, but I do have a really big project coming up that people will want to tune in for because I think it's going to mean a lot to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's not just me working on it. It's me and several other people, but there's that. And I think I'm going to be doing more content creation. So things like Twitch and then YouTube videos, TikTok, blogs on Twitter and Gab and Minds, things like that, I will probably be doing more of as fursuit making kind of takes a break.
Yeah.
And as I get more into the family, the family life over here. So I'm definitely going to still be very much involved. I'm just going to kind of shift towards some different things.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right.
Yeah. And, you know, where can we follow you for your latest shenanigans? You know, Twitch streaming, you know.
Yeah. If people want to follow me, I have a card link that just has all my socials on it and it's just peacewolfarrd.co.
All right. Okay. I'll just quickly pop that up.
Yeah.
All right. So, once again, just to repeat this, it's peacewolf.carrd.co. And you know, you can sign all the
Wow.
She's on.
You're all over the damn place. Twitter, Patreon, Facebook, Instagram, Wikifur. What the? Okay, cool.
Yep.
Oh, the Woo Association. Oh, I wanted to ask you about that too. I guess we're running out of time.
That's all right, though. So, in that sense, though, we are going to close up our show for this week. It has been an utter privilege for both Avira and myself to have you on board the show, Peace Wolf.
Aww.
Is there any one final message you'd like to say for our listeners?
Sure. Just for anyone that may be discouraged right now about the state of the fandom, keep your head up. Don't let people silence you. If something bothers you, please say something. Stand up for your friends. Don't abandon people. One of my favorite quotes is, a house divided against itself can't stand. So if someone means a lot to you, don't let other people bully them. Stand up for yourself, stand up for your friends, and stay positive.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's amazing.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Now, as a final word, though, to all of our viewers, thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this as much as we did. The Raiders Rambles, our podcast, can be found on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, BitChute, and we'll be streaming more platforms further down the line. And once again, I would like to, you know, thank our special guest, Peace Wolf, for being on.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and this is us signing off for the week. Farewell, and until next time.
Bye, guys. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.